One of the thoughts that keep coming to my mind as we're studying about the infinite, immense nature of God is that phrase that we just sang, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor I'm daily constrained to be." The more and the more I learn about God, the more and more I realize how indebted I am to His grace. So I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And we are going to be looking at the last few verses of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. Before I read these, just a few other announcements to make. This will be our last Sunday until next fall. We were planning on meeting next Sunday, but then I kind of forgot that next Sunday is Mother's Day. And somebody reminded me that next Sunday is Mother's Day. And we don't normally have Family Bible Hour on Mother's Day. So this will be the last Sunday that we meet until next fall. And then the other thing I just want to mention is that because it's the last Sunday we'll meet, we're going to go out to enjoy fellowship together tonight rather than next week, because we won't be here next week. And we're going to go to the Black Bear Diner. The Black Bear Diner. It's right there on Broadway, kind of right across from the Park Place Mall. So we'll be doing that after the service tonight. And if you can join us, that would be great. But let's look here at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking." See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. "For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.' This expression, 'yet once more,' denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we've received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." The title of the message tonight is "God Will Not Be Ignored." God will not be ignored. Let's pray, and then we'll take a look at these verses. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise you that you are God who is speaking to us. We would pray tonight, Lord, that there would be no heart that is not listening to you speaking, that there would be no one who refuses you who is speaking, that none of us, Father, would ignore you who is speaking, because you are a God who will not be ignored. Help us, Father, by your grace, to respond positively to everything that you might speak to our hearts tonight. Father, we pray for ears to hear your voice. We pray for hearts to receive what you have to say. We pray for wills to be committed to following your truth tonight. To you be all the glory, the honor, and praise in Christ's name. Amen. Again, the title of the message is "God Will Not Be Ignored." And I think we see that beginning right there in the first sentence in verse number 25. "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking." And I want us to just think about that last phrase for just a moment. He who is speaking. God is speaking. God is speaking to all humanity through creation. We could turn to Psalm 19 and we could see how creation itself, how God speaks through creation. Romans chapter 1 tells us that through creation, God is telling all of humanity who he is. He is displaying, he is making known his divine attributes, his eternal power, are all being made known through creation. And yet God's greatest revelation, God's greatest, I think, even God's most clearest voice, in fact, I don't think it, I know it. God's clearest voice comes to us through the pages of Scripture. God never speaks any more clearly than he does through the Bible. He has written the Bible in such a way that it is understandable. It is clearly written so that we can understand what God has to share with us. God is not sharing with us all that he knows, but he's sharing with us what we need to know. All the truth that we need to know is found in the pages of Scripture. All the truth that you need to know about God is found in the pages of Scripture. All the truth that you need to know about yourself is found in the pages of Scripture. All the truth that you need to know about your need for a Savior is found in the pages of Scripture. Some have said, and I totally agree with them, that general revelation, what God speaks through creation, is only enough to condemn you. Everyone stands condemned by what they know of God just by creation. General revelation, what God says through creation, will only leave you condemned. Salvation comes alone through the written pages of Scripture. And this is the voice that we're talking about tonight. Again, the writer of Hebrews says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. He has just got done telling us how as Christians we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the place where myriads and myriads of angels gather together in festive assembly. We have come to the place where the general assembly of the church of the firstborn are gathered together. We have come to the place where God is the judge of all. We have come to the place of the spirits of the righteous made perfect. We have come to the place where Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, sits on the throne of grace. We have come to the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. We have come to Mount Zion as believers. And yet there are many in the world, there are many in churches, maybe there are some here tonight, who have not really come to Mount Zion. The writer of Hebrews knows that many of those he's writing to are sitting on the fence. They're sitting on the fence. They've been attending the assemblies. They've been listening to the truth. They have received the benefit of being in the church. They have received the benefits of good teaching. They have received the benefits of Christians taking care of them. They've received the benefits of the church, and yet they haven't made that commitment to Jesus Christ. They're sitting on the fence. And what's preventing them from making that commitment is the persecution that they're receiving as Christians, the persecution that they know they'll receive if they give their lives to Christ. They're ready to get out of the church, because just being a part of the church is bringing them persecution. They're being mocked. They're being persecuted. And for these people, they know that if they would go back to their Judaism, the persecution would be done. So they want to go back to where they were before so they can avoid the persecution. They don't want to make that final decision. Yes, I'm going to commit my life to Christ. Yes, I know it's going to cost me. Yes, I know it's going to be difficult. But I do not want to miss out on all the blessings there is having committed my life to Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews says here, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And what we're going to see tonight is that you can refuse God who's speaking to you, but he will not be ignored. God will not be ignored. Judgment will come for all of those who refuse to listen to him. Judgment will come for all of those who ignore him. Yeah, if they accept Christ, they may go through some suffering and persecution, but it's not going to be anything like the judgment of God, who can shake not just the earth, but the heavens itself. Now, how is it that we can go about living life ignoring God? Well, we can be indifferent to his presence. We can be indifferent to his presence. We need to be in awe of God. We can just be indifferent and just be blasé towards God. That's to ignore God. We can be living in disobedience. Living in disobedience is ignoring God. We can be indifferent to his presence. We can presume upon his grace. We can portray a sense of deserving God's goodness. We can portray a sense of deserving his grace. To presume upon his grace and to think that you deserve it, that is to ignore who God is. We don't deserve his grace. His grace is given to us graciously. We can be complaining about his provision. We can ignore who God is, the sovereign God, the creator of all things, by complaining about his provision, by complaining that God hasn't provided me what I want, God hasn't given me everything that I want. He hasn't given me the friends I want. He hasn't given me the job I want. He hasn't given me the things I want. He hasn't given me the respect I want. He hasn't given me the honor I want. And we can grumble and complain about God's provision. That is another way that we ignore God. And I think the greatest way that we ignore God is we reject His promises. That is the greatest way to ignore God, to reject His promises. The people of Israel rejected God's promise to give them the promised land. He promised to give the land to them. And they rejected His promise. They ignored what He had to say. God today promises you forgiveness of sins if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ. The greatest act of ignoring God is to reject that promise and not to accept that promise. The greatest act of ignoring God is not to trust Him, not to have faith in Him. And as we learn about God, the Creator, who would not put faith in Him? Who would not trust Him? The God in the eternal immensity of God who created all things, spoke it all into being, the good God that He is, and yet we refuse to trust in His promises. Paul tells us in Romans that people suppress what they know about God with their unrighteousness. If you read there in Romans chapter 1, starting verse 20, you can see how it is they go about suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. The greatest act of unrighteousness is not to honor God or to give Him thanks. How do we honor God? We honor God by putting faith in His promises. That was the faith of Abraham. He trusted the promises of God. The writer of Hebrews is telling his people that he's writing to, put your faith in the promises of God. Trust God. God is speaking to people today. He's telling people today, put your faith in my promises. Trust me. Trust me. I am God. I promise to forgive you of your sins if you would just put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, after making this statement here, to not refuse Him who is speaking, to stop ignoring Him who is speaking, the writer of Hebrews gives us four motivations to follow His call to stop ignoring God. The first motivation comes from past acts of ignoring God. He writes to his readers about past acts of ignoring God. He writes to his readers about those who ignored God in the past. He says here in the second part of verse 25, For if those did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from Him who warns from heaven. Who's he talking about here when he talks about those who refused to listen to God when He warned them on the earth? He's talking about the first adult generation of the Israelites. That first adult generation of Israelites who were delivered from their bondage to Egyptian slavery. He warned them. They didn't heed His warning, and God punished them for it. When did God warn them? The greatest manifestation of His warning, I think, actually came when they came to Mount Sinai. And when at Mount Sinai, they spoke to Him. And since we've just come from where the writer of Hebrews is comparing Mount Sinai with Mount Zion, I think we're very, very safe to say that when he's talking about the people of Israel ignoring God and His warnings, he's talking about the warning that He gave them at Mount Sinai. And we could go to Exodus chapter 19 where we see that event. But I would like to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, because when Moses writes about the event 39 years after the event, he goes much more into detail as to exactly what took place there. So look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we know that Moses is writing this to the people of Israel just 30 days before God actually takes them into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Moses writes here, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, that's Mount Sinai. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me. that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, that they may teach their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and a thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of his words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess it. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you from Horeb, from the midst of the fire, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven to see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of the heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the earth. So here God is warning the people not to commit idolatry. God is warning the people to listen to him, to obey him. He's just given them the Ten Commandments. He's warning them to follow those Ten Commandments. Now, even before the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai, they had a difficult time trusting the Lord. The people of Israel ignored God when they were just 3 days after the crossing of the Red Sea. They grumbled about not having any water to drink. They ignored God's provision. Just 3 days after crossing the Red Sea. Just 3 days after God had delivered them from their bondage to Egyptian slavery, they're already grumbling. They're already ignoring God. At that time, God miraculously provided fresh water when he had Moses throw a certain tree into the water, and the water was made suitable for drinking. The people of Israel ignored God when just 6 weeks after their miraculous deliverance from the bondage to Egyptian slavery, they complained about the lack of food. And they began stating that they wished they were back in Egypt in a state of slavery once again. Again, they ignored the goodness of God, the provision of God. This time, God miraculously provided manna from heaven for these grumblers to eat. Later in their journeys, even before they reach Mount Sinai, once again, there's no water. And once again, the people of Israel ignore the goodness of God, ignore the provision of God, and begin to grumble and complain and quarrel. This time, God had Moses strike a rock, and then God caused water to come out of the rock. So you see, the people of Israel have trouble honoring God. The people of Israel have trouble being in awe of God. They have trouble worshiping God. But the people of Israel have no trouble grumbling and complaining against God. They have no trouble ignoring who God really is. And then we have the immediate disobedience that took place right after God had told them not to worship idols. Right after God had told them, they went right into disobedience. Look with me in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Verse number 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a great graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." So the next day they rose up early, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They totally ignored what God told them to do. God told them not to worship idols. And they went right ahead and worshiped the idols. That was the immediate disobedience. And then there's the delayed disobedience that comes after Mount Sinai. The people again complain of adversity in Numbers chapter 11. This time, the Lord's anger was kindled against them, and he sent fire among them, and some of them were consumed. Again, the people complain. This time, they complain about the Lord's provision of manna. They're sick and tired of his provision of manna. Again, they ignore the goodness of God, and they grumble and they complain. God responds by sending them quail to eat. He sent them so much quail to eat that they ate the quail until they became sick. And then there was the time when Miriam and Aaron complained about God's choice of Moses as their leader. Again, complaining about God's goodness, complaining about his provisions, grumbling against God, ignoring God. And what did God do? He caused Miriam to have leprosy. And then comes probably the greatest act of ignoring God, when God told them he was ready to give them the promised land. Sent the spies in to look at the land. Let's look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Verse number 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. Go look at the land which I'm going to give to you. I am going to give you this land. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, every one a leader among them." God said, "I am going to give you the land." That is God's promise. All the people need to do is to listen to what God says, to accept what God says, to trust what God says. We look at verse 25. When they returned from spying out the land, at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and certainly, it certainly does flow with milk and honey. This is its fruit." It's everything that God said it was. It's just like God said it was. We are ready to listen and trust him and go in and take the land that he wants to give us. No. Verse 28. They say, "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." They looked at the land. They looked at what God had promised them, and all they could see was fear. All they could see was fear. All they could see was the trouble. All they could see was the problems. All they could see was the risk. All they could see was the cost. They couldn't see God's provision to give them the land. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we surely will overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone is spying out as a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size." You go to chapter 14, verse number 1. Then all the congregation, all the people, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we died in the land of Egypt, or would that we died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword, our wives and our little ones to become plunder? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." They would not listen to the voice of God. You go to verse 27, chapter 14, verse 27. The Lord says to Moses and Aaron, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel which they are making against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. God will not be ignored. God makes promises, and he gives you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to believe in his promises and accept his promises. But there comes a time when the patience of God wears out, and he will not be ignored. He will punish those who will not accept his word. So the writer of Hebrews uses these past actions to motivate people to accept what God is saying. Listen to what he is saying. Let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll look at his second motivation. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, we have the motivation of what I call the lesser to greater principle. The lesser to greater principle. Let's pick it up right at the end of verse 25. Much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. I believe the shaking of the earth is what he's talking about at the time of Mount Zion. At the time of Mount Sinai, rather, at the time of Mount Sinai, the earth shook. God showed his power. And if God was willing to show his power when the people were rejecting him at that time, how much more power is he going to show when we reject him today? What's the principle there? Well, the people in Moses' time, they had a certain level of revelation from God, and they rejected it. And God responded accordingly. The revelation that we have is far greater than the revelation that Moses received. If we reject the revelation that we have given, God's response will be far greater. He's not going to shake just the earth. He's going to shake the earth and the heaven. And we can see this shaking in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand? There's going to come a time when God shakes not just the earth, he shakes the earth and the heavens. There's going to come a time when God begins to pour out his wrath upon those who will not accept what he is saying. Peter also writes about this time in 2 Peter chapter 3. If you want to turn there with me, 2 Peter chapter 3. First of all, verse 10. And then verse 12, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. All that we know is going to be destroyed. There is going to come a time when God will pour out his wrath upon those who continue to refuse to accept what he is saying. But if we were to go back to that passage in Hebrews, he also says, that which cannot be shaken will stand. That which cannot be shaken will stand. This earth and this heavens, it can be shaken and it will be destroyed. But there will be a new heavens and a new earth that cannot be shaken. It will stand. And we see that in Revelation chapter 21. Let's look there. Revelation chapter 21. This is the motivation to listen to God, to accept what He is saying, to not ignore Him. John writes here in Revelation 21, verse number 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." Listen to me. God is speaking to us. Listen to Him. Listen to Him before it's too late and you get caught up in the destruction of this heavens and this earth. Listen to Him that you can have the assurance that you will be in that new heavens and that new earth. Let's go to the third motivation found here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. He says, "Therefore, since we've received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." Here the motivation is God's goodness. Here is His goodness. Do not refuse Him who is speaking to you. Do not ignore Him who is speaking to you, so that you may receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. This promise of this new heavens and this new earth that cannot be shaken. This promise is for you today. This promise is for you to accept today. Show gratitude to the goodness of God. How do we show gratitude to the goodness of God? We simply accept what He is saying. You simply believe what He is saying. How do you show gratitude to God? How do you give God honor? How do you give God thanks? Just believe His promises. Just believe what He is saying. The writer of Hebrews is motivating us to show gratitude. Trust God. Trust His promises. Put your faith in Christ. Have your sins forgiven. Put your faith in Christ. Be made right with God. Put your faith in Christ. Have the assurance that no matter what happens to you in this life, no matter what happens to you in this world, no matter what the consequences are, the temporal consequences of trusting Christ, put your faith in Him. God will carry you through it. God will bring you through it. You will have the everlasting living hope of knowing that you will be in the new heavens and the new earth, enjoying the presence of God forever and forever. Show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service. Our acceptable service is to show gratitude by trusting in His promises. Trust in His promises. Show an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Stand in reverence of God. Stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of all you know about God, His eternality, His holiness, His righteousness, His wrath, His love, His mercy, His grace. Stand in awe of Him who existed before time, who set everything into motion. And yet He's concerned about you. Us little peons on this earth. He's concerned about us. Stand in awe of that. And just listen and trust what He has to say. Worldly pleasures are what encourage us to ignore God. That's what encourages you to ignore God. Worldly pleasures, the pleasures of sin, the pleasures of this life, the pleasures of friends, that's what gets in the way and causes you to ignore God. Now is the time to stop ignoring God and giving heed to the world. Now is the time to stop ignoring God and giving heed to the world. Now is the time to ignore the world and accept God. Stop ignoring God. Ignore the world. Ignore it. Ignore all your fears. Ignore all the things that stand in the way of you trusting God. Ignore the fact that you can do it tomorrow. You can do it next year. Ignore it all. Whatever excuse you have, ignore it. Listen to God. Accept Him. The writer of Hebrews gives us one more motivation. One more motivation. And basically he's just saying again, God will not be ignored. God will not be ignored. For our God is a consuming fire. If you don't want to get caught up in the consuming fire of the wrath of God, stop ignoring him. Listen to him. Accept what he says. Because God will not be ignored. There will come a time that if you have not accepted what he says, he will show you his wrath. You will have to deal with God, who is a consuming fire. The writer of Hebrews writes to people that are sitting on the fence. They're sitting on the fence. They're waffling. He doesn't want them to waffle any longer. He wants them to stop refusing God who's speaking to them, because God simply just will not be ignored. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, we just stand amazed at who you are. We are growing in our understanding of your infinite nature. We understand, Father, we will never exhaust the understanding of who you are, but we praise you and we thank you for what we are learning about you. And as we learn more and more about your infinite nature, as we learn more and more about the immensity of who you are, I become more and more amazed and just stand in wonderment and awe that you are speaking to me, that you are speaking to us, that you have given us your word. Father, we pray for hearts to accept what you are saying. We pray, Father, for hearts to be able to continue to grow in our understanding of what you are saying. Hearts to accept it. Hearts to believe in it. Hearts to build convictions upon the truth. Father, wills to follow what it is you are saying. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.